B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Adam, you got the phone, you're working everything. What have you heard on this?
Well, let's make this very simple. It's a hoax, it's a hack, it's not real, right. And he's not getting traded. We keep saying it, people keep saying it's to drive up the price, it's for ulterior motives. The facts are the facts. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the Patriots, but we can continue to talk about it. There was another person yesterday that's connected to the organization. They said, does Cleveland realize we're not trading him, no matter how many picks it takes? One person there said, if they got four ones, they wouldn't trade him. Now, again, believe what you want to believe, and we'll continue talking about it. And when people hack into his account, it'll come up again, and it's come up again this morning, and people get heart palpitations. But they're not trading him.
Ah, there we go. Here's a way to get into the Jimmy Garoppolo topic, which will be a prominent one for Felger and Mass the remainder of the week. And why not? Because here comes Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. That was the infamous Adam Schefter quote. What's the exact date, Jimmy? Do you have it on that? Sometime in 2017?
March 10th.
March 10th of 2017?
Correct.
This is when he, was there a, like an Instagram picture of him at a, like a Chicago Blackhawks game?
That's correct.
Or something like this, and maybe one of his buddies got his phone and dropped some sort of hint that he was going to be traded, and Adam Schefter says correctly at the time that the Patriots and Bill Belichick wouldn't trade him for four first-round picks. Well, wouldn't you know it? Whatever, 4 months later, they trade him for not only four first-round picks, or not even four first-round picks, but a second-round pick. And now here we are three-plus years later, and we get to see the result of it. And so let's go through the fall of it. Now we get to see the, if not the final analysis of it, you know, certainly what it looks like on the other side. So it is Felger and Mass here presented by DraftKings. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Would you say right now that Bill Belichick is living what he feared at that time with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation?
No question he is. Absolutely he's living what he feared. And any of us that argued that side of it at that time, this was the point. Don't take for granted what you have. They don't grow on trees. You can't just pluck a quarterback out of the draft and stick him in there, even in a quarterback-friendly league, which the NFL now is. So here you go. This was the trade you made. This is what you chose. And I would just tell you this. Like, again, let's go through the whole timeline. Okay, let's go through the whole timeline. And when I say the whole timeline, I'm going to give you a capsule version of it. Spring of 2017, Schefter tells us the Patriots wouldn't take four first-round picks for Garoppolo. The fall of that same year, Garoppolo's traded for a second, probably because Brady was in the ear of the owner saying, what's this guy still doing here? Okay? Spring of 2018. Garoppolo's traded. Spring of 2018, Brady asked Kraft after the Super Bowl to be let out of the contract after the 2018 season. So in the fall, Brady is in the ear of the owner saying, get rid of Jimmy G. 6 months later, Brady wants out.
And this is after the Eagles Super Bowl loss.
Correct. The Patriots, Kraft says no. Brady stays for 2018. The Pats win the Super Bowl. And then Kraft gives in to Brady. The Patriots forfeit their right to use the franchise tag. Brady plays one more year and then is gone. So, in effect, the Patriots didn't lose one quarterback. They lost two. Two. And what they got in return for it was a second rounder for Jimmy G and a compensatory pick for Brady. Think of it in those terms. In the span of 2 years, you let go of Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady, and you got a second-round pick and a compensatory selection, which is coming up in the 2021 draft, which we haven't even used yet. Was that worth it?
So,
was that worth it?
It's a fair question. They won a Super Bowl.
Okay, and I say no. I say they won a sixth Super Bowl, which is an important distinction, because if it was their first Super Bowl, you might be able to say yes. But for a sixth, I just think that is a huge, huge price to pay, especially now that they are in a spot that they're in, which means they don't have a quarterback.
I like your message, though, for Bill Belichick. Don't take for granted what you have. That's what you said, huh? Huh. Yeah, I would agree that Bill would take that advice from you, Maz, and not be such a tight ass when it came to how he treated the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. But
You didn't. So reap what you sow. Mad you had to trade him? Good. Mad he's in San Francisco? Good. Mad that this is how it's turned out? Good. Because you just couldn't lighten up. That's why they're in the situation that they're in.
Yeah, but again, if you're a fan of the team, Murray, you're paying. You're paying now. And so whether you want to blame it on Bill or not is fine. But if you're a fan of the team, you could have had a quarterback here in a longer run with someone who's familiar with the system and at least better than what they have now. Like, to me, that was what the decision was at that time. Do you want to be loyal to Brady and squeak out another year or two and maybe another Super Bowl, which you got?
So you think Garoppolo is better than Newton?
I do.
There's so many talkable points here. There's so much facilitation. I'm bathing in facilitation here.
I just want to say, do I think Garoppolo today is better than Newton and would be better in this system? Yes. Cam Newton won an MVP. Okay, his career is better than Garoppolo's. But today, would I rather have Jimmy Garoppolo running the Patriots offense with Bill Belichick as coach? Yes, I would.
Well, that's just one question for the people. There's so many questions for the people. Again, the facilitation, my facilitation cup runneth over. the big question that Maz was driving at off the top is this. Simple enough. Would the Pats be better off right now if they had held on to Jimmy Garoppolo and just let Brady walk after the Eagles Super Bowl like Brady asked? Brady and Giselle walked into Robert Kraft's home office there in Chestnut Hill, and Giselle made a comment about sick of being treated like Johnny effing Foxborough. And Brady asked to be let out, which Kraft had promised him previously he would give him the final call. That was way back in whatever, 2010-11, when they signed the last big deal. Kraft had promised Brady that when he chose to move on, Kraft would facilitate that. So Brady called in that promise after the Eagles Super Bowl loss. He had had enough. Giselle had had enough. And Robert Kraft, and again, this is according to the new book by Benedict there on the Patriots.
Jeff Benedict.
This is maybe the only useful detail I've found in that book, but it is useful. And Robert Kraft went back on his promise and wouldn't let Brady off. Would they be in better shape if they had? Would they be in better shape right now if they had? I think it's hard to argue that they wouldn't be. They'd be in better shape right now. Even if you think Garoppolo is just eh. It is Belichick's guy. It's a guy that's been in the system that Belichick has invested in and worked well with him, and you'd have some certainty there. And so it's hard to argue they wouldn't be in better shape going forward. You do have to give back that Super Bowl, though, that sixth Super Bowl. So that really leads to that's the second bit of delicious little facilitation. And that is it worth the trade-off? They're in worse shape at the quarterback position because of it, but you gained one extra Super Bowl. So the sixth, as Maz said, is that worth it to you?
Oh, yeah, it is to me. I wouldn't give that back up. To have Jimmy Garoppolo and what, be like, you know, competitive 10-6, 11-5 every year in, year out, but definitely not winning Super Bowls? No, I take the guaranteed Super Bowl. Thank you very much.
I mean, to me, I don't think it's worth it. I don't. And we've talked about this with the Red Sox, too, that going through those years of suffering for, you know, for a single championship. And again, in this case, a single championship that is tacked onto a group that you already have. So is it worth it? My answer would be no. This is exactly, and I'm just trying to be consistent with what I said at the time. This is an organization, the Patriots are, that always thought long-term. We'll get rid of a guy a year too early versus a year too late. They got to the most important position on the field, and they couldn't pull the trigger on it.
So, I mean, basically,
which is fine, but this is now why you have what you have.
You traded, call it 10 years of Garoppolo, whatever, 8 years of Garoppolo. You traded the next, you know, decade with Garoppolo for 2 years of Brady. And you won a Super Bowl in those 2 years. Even if you're in worse shape now, was it worth that? Was it worth it? Were those 2 years worth it? Okay? Jimmy, you can open it up. Because I have so much facilitation, I don't know even, you know, where to go from here. 617-779-0985. Would the Pats be in better shape right now if they had held on to Jimmy Garoppolo and just let Brady walk after the Eagles Super Bowl like he wanted? And if they are in worse shape, and even if you acknowledge that they're in worse shape, would you still do it? Is it still worth it? Were those 2 extra years of Brady worth giving up 10 years of Garoppolo? How's it worked out since, Maz? You came up with some great numbers here since Garoppolo took over as starter in San Francisco. Go ahead.
Okay, so since Jimmy G became the starter, which again was week 13 in the 2017 season, since that time, Garoppolo is 21-7. The Patriots over that same span of time are 19-10. Now, again, there's some stuff I'm leaving out there. Okay, so I'm just trying to be upfront.
Like the championship.
Like the championship. Okay. Now, but I would also tell you, San Francisco went to a Super Bowl in that span too,
and we're close, but not that counts. Does that include playoffs or just regular
season?
That's
just regular season. So, and but again, they've each gone to one Super Bowl during that period of time. If you want to look at it in those terms, Garoppolo's 21-7. The Patriots are 19-10. So, you know where he's been, he is still one. And if you wanted to go further and you say, look at passer rating in the league over that period of time, Garoppolo ranks ahead of Brady, and he's way ahead of Cam Newton. Way ahead. So I just look at the whole thing and say, it's fine if you pick Brady. And Murray, you're entitled. I'm not telling you you're not. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Just understand that the debt is now coming due. It's time to pay. Now, this would all be different if Jarrett Stidham could play. Then Kraft would have been right.
You bet.
But
you know what? I'll tell you what. It's even different if Newton can play, which the jury's still out on. Like, I mean, if we had this conversation after the Seattle game, I think it'd have a whole different tone. But after the events of the last month where Newton, the last two games, has been bad and then still remains the only quarterback in the NFL to get put on the COVID list, and now he's basically cost you two games because of that, I think we have a different taste in our mouth with Cam Newton as we stand here today versus even 3-4 weeks ago.
Totally.
And so, you know, right now you're in this quarterback no man's land. Maybe Newton's the guy and you can find him for the right price for the next couple of years, in which case you've landed on your feet-ish. If Stidham is a no-go, you know, it's like, where are you? You have nothing at quarterback. Where, just dial it back 3 years ago, Belichick had it. He had it perfect for him. You know, again, he loves Garoppolo. I know, Jimmy, you don't. A lot of you don't. He loved Garoppolo. He had what he felt was the path. He had it all dialed in. Now, to get that, you may have to give back a Super Bowl, but who knows? Maybe not. But I'll give that to you anyway. I'll give you two. You're not winning the KC AFC title game with Jimmy Garoppolo.
No shot.
I mean, I don't know. Garoppolo could go there and throw three interceptions, including one in the end zone. He could do that too. He just couldn't bring it back in the fourth quarter. So, like, that I'll grant you. But let's just, you know, for the sake of that, it makes it a cleaner argument. You have to give back a Super Bowl, but you've got Belichick's next quarterback for the next 10 years. Is it worth it? Let me ask you one more. I mean, I got so many more, but here's the one. Would you take him back?
In a heartbeat.
If San Francisco sours on him, which may be happening anyway, which blows me away that the Niners didn't look harder at Brady in the offseason, or they did, but didn't pull the trigger when the coach doesn't trust the quarterback anyway. And that, I think, was, you know, became obvious there, the way the Shanahan managed Garoppolo, you know, into the Super Bowl. He doesn't totally trust him. Yet they passed on Brady to keep Garoppolo, and they don't totally trust the guy. And it feels like his job's kind of teetering this year.
Agreed.
So it's like, what? If you didn't really believe in the guy, why'd you hang on to him? But anyway, if Garoppolo does become free, do you want him back? Would you take him back? Is that a fine plan at quarterback for Bill Belichick? There's another question for you. So we'll get your thoughts on all this. This is going to be a big portion of the day, but we do have some other items. We got to get to the World Series and Mookie Betts. We've also got something on Stephon Gilmore for you. Some breaking speculation. I have some breaking speculation for you on Mookie Betts, in fact. So we'll get to all this stuff with your calls right after these words.
Duggar Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbag.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We completed the trade papers with San Francisco, and first of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. And we'll always love you. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us.
Second down and four. Garoppolo dropping back, looking to throw. Lobs it down the left side. Hogan wide open. Has it at the 10 in stride. Goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
Got a point. Jimmy.
49ers are getting a good player. They're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Bittersweet memory.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Grapple fires down the middle.
Moore Bennett on the money.
And on time, touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw.
He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly.
Garoppolo stands on the gun. He takes the step. He looks to the right with a pump. He shot slides to his left. He throws downfield. Amendola makes a leaping catch at midfield and lands at the 48-yard line.
What a play by Garoppolo. What an unreal play. What pocket presence and poise on third and forever.
We probably had, in my opinion, the best quarterback situation in the league for the last, call it, 2.5 years. It's just not sustainable.
Garoppolo throws on the move, finds Mitchell, makes the catch at the 20, pushed back by Jones.
Garoppolo is hurt, man, and he got driven into the carpet on that shoulder. Yeah, his shoulder's bad, man.
Definitely not something that we wanted to walk away from, and I felt like we rode it out as long as we could. But just at this point, felt like we had to make a decision.
All right, so we got a lot of production, a lot from the years. But, you know, this is it. It's come home to roost. So here's Garoppolo. It's come home to roost in that you're now stuck without a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You now have no quarterback, and you have no clear plan. And Belichick at one point had one. Now, whether you like the player or not. So the point of this, I mean, and none of that, that came with visuals there at NBC Sports Boston where Maz's love for Garoppolo. That's really not it. I mean, we can debate like whether you think he's good or not. Like, we can debate it. But what's not debatable is that Bill liked him.
Correct.
Okay? So, like, just accept that. So, you go, he sucks. So don't argue with me or Maz. Argue with Bill. Right? So, like, that's the point. Bill liked the player. Now, there's no guarantee. Bill at one point thought N'Keal Harry could play or whatever. Rohan Davey was a good draft pick.
Drafted Ryan Mallett.
Exactly. Bill could be totally wrong, but just argue with Bill. Like that. So, but that's the point. And so Bill thought he had the guy, and Robert stepped in and made him trade him.
So, you know what?
Now here we are 2 years later, and you have no quarterback. Would you be better off right now if you had let Brady walk after that Eagles Super Bowl? And you had kept Garoppolo, would you be in better shape right now?
I mean, look, I say yes, but I'll tell you, now that Jeff Benedict book came out, The Dynasty, the timeline's important, okay? Fall of 2017, Brady is chirping to the owner about getting rid of Garoppolo, so they trade him. 6 months later, Brady asks out. 6 months, Brady asks out. So that's all it took. They were clearly not on great footing before then. So if you're Kraft, you've got to be pissed. You're sitting there going, wait a minute. 6 months ago, you told me to get rid of the guy. Now you want out of your contract? What? That, to me, when I was looking, I go, oh, my God, can you believe they let him go? They traded Garoppolo, and then within 6 months, Brady said he wanted out.
Okay, your thoughts, as promised. Joe, New York, lead us off.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. First of all, I think assuming that you're going to get 10 years out of Jimmy is a big stretch. The guy can't stay on the field. And second, I think the decision to let him go was right because he was never the guy. He was a guy. Lowercase a, lowercase g. And nowadays in the NFL, you can find someone just as good as him every offseason in the market. I'd rather take a guy like Darnold or Daniel Jones on the cheap than be stuck with that wimp who can't stay on the field for $30 million a year. Thanks, guys.
Okay, versus Sam Darnold, who stayed on the field every week? I don't know. We're talking about Sam Darnold's durability now over Garoppolo. But, I mean, okay. So if you can just find a guy like that anywhere, has Bill done that?
No.
Because it seems to me like he drafted that guy in the fourth round, and they got so sick of his act, even in the second offseason, that they buried him. I'm talking about Jared Stidham. And now Cam Newton to the rescue, has sucked for a month, and remains the only quarterback in the league to cost you games because he landed on the COVID list. So I don't know. I mean, because I would tend to agree with that caller. Bill can figure it out. He'll find someone else. Has he?
No. And see, this idea has always bothered me, too. Like, that guy just said there's a guy available like that on the market every year. So quarterbacks are indispensable? I mean, how many guys out there do you think really can win Super Bowls? And I'm not telling you Garoppolo can either. I don't know.
Yeah, he had his opportunity and failed.
Okay. So I just think that's a risky game to play at that position. That's all. And you had a guy who had been in the system for 4 years, and you decided to cut bait, which is fine.
Mike in Middleborough, go.
Yeah, I was just saying that you should probably keep the two Super Bowls because, one, the Patriots don't pay people when he was up his contract year. And second, who's to say that it was going to be the 10-year guy, you know?
Okay, so I'd say that for the sake of argument. He would have been your guy going forward. And, I mean, quarterbacks play to their mid-30s now. Garoppolo, when you traded him, was 26. So I'm just like, okay, so call it 8. Call it 7. I don't know. If he's that fragile that he wouldn't make it 5, then all right. I mean, maybe that's part of your calculus. That wasn't part of Bill's. He was ready to go forward with him. And I don't think it's 2 Super Bowls. I think it's 1. You know, the play would have been not trade him at the trade deadline in 17. You play it out. You lose to the Eagles. You let Brady walk. And now it's Garoppolo's turn. And so you give back the Rams Super Bowl, but now you got a quarterback for the next 7, 6, 8 years. Call whatever you want to make you happy.
And you have continuity in your system. You have a guy that's been in the playbook already for 4 years. Like, that's no small thing either. So on the one hand, people want to say, well, Cam Newton jumped in, no offseason, didn't know the playbook. You don't have to deal with any of that if you keep your guy. You don't deal with any of it. He's already got his nose in the playbook for 3 years.
We've got Matt in I'm sorry, he just jumped on. How about Mike in Uxbridge? He joins us next on Line 7. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Tony, it's 2 Super Bowls, not 1. We won 1, we lost 1. We lost the 1 because Bill acted like a jilted lover. You guys had exact right play program on there.
You don't get credit for Philly.
You don't, that's not a
you
win.
You don't get credit for Philly.
You lost that game.
We were in the Super Bowl. He threw for 505 yards, and if Bill didn't abdicate his coaching responsibilities in that game, we win the freaking game.
You're missing the point.
No, Super Bowls. 3 in a row, he had the chance to do unbelievable things, and because he acted and pouted like a baby, we got the 1.
Okay, well, I mean, that's another... you want to blame Belichick for the Eagles' loss? Go ahead. He deserves it.
But Brady was playing that Super Bowl no matter what.
You didn't have to choose then. You didn't have to choose then. Garoppolo was on his rookie deal, cost you nothing. You could have kept them both through 2017. So that Super Bowl appearance remains whether Garoppolo's there or not. The rubber meets the road after that year when Garoppolo was going to become a free agent and you would have had to franchise him. Then you have to choose. And so that's why the clock starts in 2018, the Rams Super Bowl year. You could not, Maz, I know you think they should have. I do not think that was a realistic ask for them to keep both guys. To franchise Garoppolo for $25 million to back up Brady, not going to happen. At that point, you have to choose. Okay, so in 2017, you didn't have to trade him. He could have sat the bench the whole year making his minimum salary on a rookie contract, would have cost you nothing, and then you could have figured it out in the offseason. So the clock starts in 2018. Brady wanted out. Brady went to Kraft after the Eagles Super Bowl loss and asked to leave, and Kraft wouldn't let him go. If you had kept Garoppolo at that point and let Brady walk, would you be in better shape right now?
I mean, to me, that's the thing. You look at that again. In the fall, they traded him. In the spring, Brady asked out. 6 months. 6 months. If the Patriots knew, so maybe this is another way to look at it. If the Patriots had known that 6 months later Brady was going to ask out, would they have traded Garoppolo?
No.
Not in a million years. Not in a million years. So, like, it's just looking back on it, and again, there were lots of people who are loyal to Brady. I get it. I totally understand that. All I'm telling you is that the predicament you're in now, you don't have a leg to stand on. You can't complain about it. This is the Bill.
I'll take the championship.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. Like, that's, to me, that's one that I can't argue. I mean, that's just a personal feeling. And I didn't grow up as a fan of the team. Like, for me, the next 10 years would have been more valuable. And I would have given back the 6th championship for another 10 years. Okay? Or 6 or 8, again, whatever you want to say, for the next guy. I would have given it back. Because, you know, going to, you know, where you are now is where you just can't be. No quarterback, no plan. Like, that's a horrible spot to be. So I would have given it back, but it's not my team. If it were the Packers and, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, maybe I feel differently. I can't tell you how to feel on that. So that's a toss-up to me. What's it worth to you? Is it worth being in no man's land for that last championship? For me, it wouldn't have been. To roll it right back into that next thing and potentially win with the next guy? To me, that's a better 6th championship than the one you won with Brady. Because that means you got a real program. Right now, you know what happened? You got lucky. a player fell into your lap in the sixth round, you ain't so special. You just hit a scratch ticket. If you do and win it with the next one, now you're something. Now you're something different. Now you're something special. Right now, you're not even the Niners, who did it with two coaches, two quarterbacks. That's a program. You've just won it now because you got lucky. And that's one way to look at it. You win with the next guy, now you've done something. So I would have gone to the next guy, but I can't tell you how to feel on that one. Here's a quick update from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There he goes. No throw. That is a stolen base. Mookie Betts has stolen the first base of the 2020 World Series. Lasnow has struck out seven. There goes Betts. Double steal. Throw down is too late. And he is greeted by Betts. A shot into right. Back at the line. One pitch, one more run, and the first Dodger postseason home run for Mookie Betts. How about another hit? Red Sox fans are watching this going, hello, why did we trade this guy? How can they not afford Mookie Betts?
All right, man, got to get your thoughts on this. You've been a big critic of Mookie Betts and the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has a historic night as the Dodgers go up 1-0 in the World Series. Your thoughts?
So look, my sentiments on Betts and the reasons for trading him are pretty clear. But here's what I'll say. If you're a Red Sox fan and you're pissed at the trade, ooh, that had to hurt last night. Ooh, that had to hurt. I mean, he's been all over the field for the last week, really. Defensive plays against the Braves, stealing bases last night, you know, and then scoring on the play on top of it, which was the best base running play of all. He's on third base, infield's in, chopper to the right side of first. The first baseman has to go to his back end to field him. But Mookie took off on contact and made an unbelievable dive and, you know, slide into the plate to score. Then an opposite field home run. I will repeat, opposite field home run, and gets a single in his last at bat. I mean, that was a clinic last night, what he did. It was a clinic. And so if you hold the Red Sox accountable, and again, I don't. I think the guy wanted out. And I think that because of that, they really had no choice. You have to trade him and get something. You can't just let him walk out the door. That's my opinion. But if you believe the team effed up, and that they should have given him everything he wanted. Oh, my God. Last night was your night.
Okay, so I got something for you on that. But first, at what point will you admit you were wrong on Betts?
Wrong about what?
What's it going to take?
Well, wrong about what?
Opposite.
Come on,
power.
Maz. We just no, don't
no,
waste
no,
our time.
No, wait a minute. All I ever, I never said I didn't you don't want
think,
the
you
guy.
Don't, I didn't say, I'm not asking you that, but you didn't think he was worth the contract. You don't think he belongs in the same breath as Trout. You don't think he belongs in that echelon. Too small, not big enough, doesn't have opposite field power. Postseason numbers, come on, just...
Okay, no. So listen, all that stuff I still believe.
Okay, so what I'm saying, at what point will you say that you underrated him?
Well, that he's going to have to...
That analysis was wrong.
He's going to have to play at a otherworldly level for like another 5 years.
Oh, what if he just does it the rest of the series and the Dodgers win?
No. Not good enough. No, not good enough. Again, because the test with Mookie is going to be whether or not he can continue to hit for power into his 30s. So, you know, that's one. Now, that's the baseball question part of it. So, you know, look, I never said the guy sucked as a player. I still don't think he's as good as Mike Trout.
Yeah, but you still think he was tracking on being like Andrew McCutchen.
Well, he might still be. He's better than McCutchen. Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay. But it feels there's some movement there.
Yeah, he's better than McCutchen. but again, all I'm saying is, you know, it was he had a big night last night. He's had a good year in a short season, but nonetheless a good year with the Dodgers. And he is playing at the top of his game right now. No two ways about it.
All right, let me tell you what I got. And I've told Maz this off the air. I have to give you a disclaimer because If I were a reporter, I wouldn't report this. If I were writing, I wouldn't write this. If I were on Twitter, I wouldn't tweet this. I wouldn't put it in print. I wouldn't write it. And this isn't even really a report. I'm too lazy to track this down. I'm not going to ask for a second or third source. I'm not even going to. This is just something.
It's a one-source show.
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party, literally. Okay, but he might know. He might not. But you know what? I don't care. I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter. And so take it for what it's worth. What's the opposite of a blue check mark? Is there like an anti-blue check mark?
Yeah, I would say
give it a brown check mark because it
poop emoji.
It might be total crap.
Poop emoji.
Okay.
There you go.
But it's believable enough for it to have stuck in my head. And it was literally at a cocktail party. And it's literally, this is the only thing I would tell you on the source. It's from a player source. So this guy, I am fully confident, is close with players. And this is where he would have gotten it from the player side of it. Okay? And it was a conversation at literally a outdoor, socially distant cocktail party. Okay? And the guy says, boy, he turned down a lot of money here. Speaking of bets, I'm like, well, what do you mean he turned down? Weren't the Red Sox like way, you know, they offered 320, he signed for 380 or asked for 400. Weren't they way under? I mean, he said, oh, no. They offered what he asked. They offered a lot more than that. And he turned it down. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't the Sox let everybody know that? Because right now everyone's calling them cheapskates. Everyone is saying they cheaped out and wouldn't pay for Mookie Betts. Why wouldn't they let that be known? And the guy said, paraphrasing, that they thought it would be a worse PR hit if people knew that Betts just turned him down straight out, that it wasn't a money thing. Because then it speaks to he didn't want to be here.
The city, maybe the history.
Why didn't he want to be here? And then maybe there is a racial component there, which the Red Sox are sensitive to. Not a great place for African-American players to this day. I mean, maybe that's it. Or maybe it's even, you know, less than that. It's just this is not a destination. What makes the Red Sox look worse? If they offer him everything that he got in L.A. and he turned him down? Or they came underneath and they were low on the bid because that's just being fiscally responsible and that was our decision. Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah, it's better to be labeled cheap. It's an easier pill to swallow between the two.
Right? So, I never thought of it that way. Like, PR purposes, it is better to be cheap or to be, you know, labeled cheap versus no one wants to play for you. That second thing, that's a scary thing.
Right, because then you're going to have trouble getting anybody.
The first thing you can explain away, well, that's our decision. This is what we believe philosophically. You know, the first thing, it can even kind of be your decision, for better or worse. But we made the call. We drew the line financially because that's where we should be on him. And the Red Sox opted for that bad PR versus the other PR of they offered him everything the Dodgers did. They gave him full boat, and he didn't want to be here. And they were afraid of that thing more than the cheap thing. Take that for what it's worth. That could be the brown emoji, the brown check mark, crap. Okay, so, and I'm telling you, that is not a report. That is just me slinging it as a tabloid talk show host. But I'm not making that up. That was an actual conversation I had with someone who I believe to be pretty close to some players, and it had the whiff of believability. Certainly, an interesting thing to consider, and it changes the whole thing because you and Maz and I had some big arguments about, you know, did Mookie want to be here? And I was always under the impression that if the Red Sox, you know, that what Mookie really wanted was that contract. And if the Sox had offered him, he would have stayed. Because what he really wanted was the contract. He didn't love Boston, didn't need to be here, you know, all things being equal, would probably rather be somewhere else. But if the Red Sox came in with the highest bid, he would have stayed. That's what I believed. And this guy said it's really just the opposite. They did. They offered him every dime that he would have gotten, and he didn't want to be here. But so they chose to let it be known that they came in under because they were willing to accept that bad PR versus the bad PR of someone just not wanting to be here.
And because they're the kinder, gentler Red Sox of this, you know, new era, they're not going to smear him because they could have done that in the past too. Like, yeah, we offered everything, but he didn't want to be here because he didn't like the city. He's soft. He wanted to go to a different market where the media isn't as tough. Like, you could have done all that, but they don't do that kind of thing anymore.
So I will say that is very un-Red Sox like to let a guy leave in a high profile thing like that and not smear him on his way out the door. You know, it's a good point by Murray. They didn't do that. This guy, they did not do that.
If I were a reporter, I would have followed up on it, but I'm not anymore, so I'm just going to sling that, and maybe someone else can follow up. I maybe we'll find it at some point, what really happened there. But it was there's just an interesting angle there on bets. Back to your calls on everything in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Garoppolo down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin.
Garoppolo throwing at the goal line. Touchdown.
Garoppolo has time. Stands in. Going deep. Going for it all. And it's caught for the touchdown. Garoppolo. For the end zone. Touchdown 49ers.
Garoppolo keeps play action. Pass is caught. Touchdown.
8-0. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
I never wanted you to be gone. They made me trade you because of Tom. Lord, I miss you.
He's got a lot of qualities that we admire in quarterback.
I'll keep texting with my phone when you make a perfect throw. Jimmy, I miss you.
He's just so good.
Forget Maz's love affair with Garoppolo, or this program's obsession with Garoppolo. The story is Belichick. Belichick feels that way about the guy, to the point where, after he was forced to trade him and Garoppolo started playing, Bill would text him after every game.
I mean, that's been reported. I mean, that wasn't just speculation.
He's still gushing about him. He did it again this week.
I mean, it's just...
At some point, get over it, dude.
Okay, so Bill loved the guy. Bill thought he had the... He had the guy, Mike. So that's not Maz. That's Bill.
I had the guy, Mike.
Okay.
I had the guy.
Looking good out there, young king.
Okay, so, so much facilitation. Would the Pats be in better shape right now if they had let Brady walk after that Eagles Super Bowl and had not traded Brady and not traded Garoppolo? Again, trading deadline 2017. Hold on to Garoppolo. He's on a minimum salary, rookie contract, cheap. You can have him as the backup all year. After the Eagles Super Bowl loss, Brady, according to the new Patriots Dynasty book, walked into Kraft's office in Chestnut Hill and asked to be released and asked to be moved. Would they be in better shape if they had not traded Garoppolo and granted Brady his wish? You have to give back a Super Bowl, but Bill would have his quarterback for the next run, however long you think that would last. Is it? Would they be in better shape if Garoppolo were still here? Your thoughts. Dennis in Rockland, go.
You always take the Super Bowl. Rodgers and Brees only have one Super Bowl. Big Jim's right. Hey, can I just make a comment? Michael, why am I picturing you going to long walks with Gruden? And Maz and Big Jim are looking at NFL Teen Beat going over the Vrabel centerfold. I love you with Greg Bernard. Don't do that again.
Okay. That was from, you have to go back and listen to the podcast if you don't know what he's talking about. Listen to 10 questions yesterday with Greg Bedard. It got a little kinky. And I don't know why I did it, but I did it. So you always take the Super Bowl over the long run. I would say if you had zero, but again, this is a fan thing, so I can't tell you how to feel. You either like chocolate or vanilla, and that's just right. Some things are funny to you, some things aren't. This is a personal taste. But if I didn't have, if I had no Super Bowls, then yes, I'd take the one over the next 10 years because I got to get that one. But when you done got five and you've already established yourself as the greatest ever, the rest are just padding.
Correct.
You're just padding it. So that sixth, basically, I mean, you still look at it this way. The sixth cost you Bill's next quarterback. Was it worth it?
Yeah, it's a huge element in this discussion because, again, the quarterbacks he brought up have won. Rodgers and Breeze. I mean, one, the number one, not that they've won a title, one championship each. I would say for those guys, it's a much harder decision. That second one is a validation too, because a lot of guys can win one, but to win multiple suggests that your career was something different. So I would say if you were Green Bay, you were New Orleans, there's more of a case to keeping your guy. But here was the sixth title. And again, 6 months after you traded him, the quarterback said he wanted out.
Ryan and Southie. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. First off, if I see Mookie Betts on SportsCenter flying through the air one more time, I'm going to put my head to the screen on that one.
It is a killer. I agree.
Not why I'm calling, though. I want to go back to basically Cam Newton versus Garoppolo right now. I think you got your answer like sooner rather than later. You look at the defense that Garoppolo had last year. Call him a game manager all you want. He took him to a Super Bowl. Is Cam going to even get by the divisional round this year with a similar type of defense? I mean, we have the secondary. We have the front four. I don't even think it's a comparison. I think we're getting by Kansas City or the Ravens or anything like those guys.
So, I mean, Ryan, thanks for the call. I think this is a close call too. Garoppolo or Newton? I think Newton has a higher ceiling. You know, I think when Newton is firing on all cylinders, he brings more to the table and is more dynamic and is a better talent. I feel Garoppolo more consistent. I feel Garoppolo would be more in tune with how the Pats really want to run their offense and is a little younger. He's not that much younger. It's surprising. It's 2.5 years. Garoppolo turns 29 in 2 weeks and Newton is 31. I don't think he turns 31 or 32 till the spring. So I think it's 2.5 years. Garoppolo's contract the next 2 years is $24 million, his existing contract. Newton, I don't know what he's going to be. If he's on the franchise tag, he's up by 30. So who would you rather have over the next 2 years?
I mean, I say Garoppolo. And again, I put emphasis on the fit. I mean, remember, if you told me Andy Dalton or Cam Newton way back when, I was leaning Dalton. So I just like the fit better. Now, again, if you tell me Newton's what he was in 2015, fine. You know, the other thing is everyone, and rightfully so, dumps on Garoppolo for the durability factor. How durable is Cam?
Yeah, it's a big question.
I mean, he's not all that durable either. So, especially now at this stage of his career with all the hits he's taken, I lean Garoppolo there, and I think Belichick would lean Garoppolo.
Well, that I don't think is any doubt. Chris and Rainham, your thoughts on this topic. Hi.
What a joke this week has been. We saw the downfall of the Patriots. Maz, what you're missing out is it was 5 years of Brady. It was several more years of Brady up until 2022 when Garoppolo, as you just said, Felger, is older than you think. Brady was going to be 45, 46, finishing out his career, which is what he wanted to do, and Garoppolo was going to be 33. You're changing the whole narrative. And Maz, Brady asked for to be out because Bill wouldn't give him an extension after blowing the Super Bowl himself, and Brady had one of the best Super Bowls of all time. He didn't just go to Kraft to get out. Belichick refused to re-sign Brady. Belichick blew up this whole thing. I fought with you for years to get rid of Garoppolo and keep Brady. But I changed my opinion. If you're going to get rid of Brady after 2 years, you don't get rid of Garoppolo.
So let me ask you this.
Blew it up on both sides.
Chris, at least you're honest, Chris.
You're changing the narrative. You're moving the goalposts and saying now Brady's here through 2022. To do that, you'd have to extend him. And to do that, you'd probably have to say goodbye to Bill Belichick. So let's be really honest. And so, fine, you give Brady his contract extension over Belichick's dead body, and Bill says, Robert, I'm not going to work for you if you're not going to let me make the decisions. Do you let Bill go then?
100%. Look at what's happening right now.
Yeah, me too.
100%. Look at what's happening right now to this team. Does this trade-off look good to you guys right now? Felger, you said how much fun this was going to be to see that these two go off. We're about to go 2-4. We're 2-3 losses away from being eliminated from the playoffs because we don't have Tom Brady.
I'm enjoying the crap out of this. What are you talking about? Like, not that you're losing or might have a losing record. I'm not looking for that. But
there's facilitation to be had.
Oh my God! The philosophical. This team is so much more interesting to me than it was over the last 5 years.
Oh, way more.
We
would never be having this discussion. It's totally. I mean, that's not true. But you know what I mean.
No, it's like this week the season's in the balance. It might be. You go to 2-4. Look out. You might not get it back. And I think you're going to win this week. I think you're going to, you know, bounce back and have a good week and win this week. But I don't know it. And over the last 5 years, it'd be like, it really wouldn't matter if you won this game or not. It just wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be 2-3 in the first place. And it's like all the rest of the division would be on their way to 4-12. And it's like, yawn. And it's all blends together. I asked these guys earlier, because I was just trying to piece it together. What was the divisional game the year they won the Super Bowl against the Rams? And it's like, you can't remember anymore. It all blends together. So if you're asking me personally, oh, you're way more interesting right now. I'm not looking for you to suck, and I'm not looking for you to lose. I'm pulling for you. I am. But the degree of difficulty has just increased, and every game matters. And there's real uncertainty about what's going to happen this week and what you're going to be. When's the last time you had that?
Oh my gosh, please. Like, the idea of them being 2-4 is unfathomable given the way the last 20 years have gone. And look, just with regard to Chris's call, I'll just say, you know, 2017, that 2017 season into the Eagles Super Bowl was the last time, I would say, here that Brady was really sort of closest to his peak. It started to go down the next year.
Definitely.
So, you know, you look at that whole landscape, and whether you were going to have him for 2 more years or 4 more years, and I'm with you, like, now you're changing the whole argument. But even for 2 more years, his play started to slip a little.
The question is 2018. That's when Garoppolo was up. That's when you would have had to franchise him to keep him or move on from Brady and keep him at something, you know, on a long-term deal. That's when the rubber met the road. You did not have to trade him at the trade deadline in 2017. You could have carried him as the backup on that cheap rookie contract and made the decision in the offseason. That offseason, Brady went to Kraft and said, I want out. And Kraft wouldn't let him out. If you had kept Garoppolo at that deadline and let Brady walk, would you be in better shape right now?
And I'll even tell you that Garoppolo doesn't win in 2018 because he doesn't go into Kansas City and do what Brady did. I concede that point. I think I've said that all along. No way. There are many guys who could have done what Brady did in that game at the end.
So to give up 2 years of Brady for 10 of Garoppolo?
I mean, I would.
No.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on that. I got more coming up as well. How about this one? Would you take him back? Would you take him back from San Francisco if his relationship there in San Francisco runs out this year? He's tradable now.
If the planets align.
If the planets align, his guaranteed money's up in San Francisco, so they can trade him no real damage. How about this? Should San Francisco have taken Brady this offseason and traded Garoppolo back to you this past offseason? Brady wanted to go to San Francisco. That was his number one choice. He lobbied the Niners to go to San Francisco. San Francisco looked at it and then chickened out. You almost got Garoppolo back this offseason, Maz. That almost happened. But the Niners got cold feet. Why? Let's pick up that part of it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.